Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Evangelist Mary Scott, and I am coming to you this evening with our 1,505th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I won't be before you long, only as long as I'm going to give you what God gave me, and then we will be done. But I'm so grateful to be before you again, so grateful that God spared my life, just so grateful that he has given me something to share, but believe me, it was for me first. And I'm going to get started. Today, God gave me If Only You Believe, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about our belief factor, because in this day, in this time that we're living in, we are going through so many things on so many levels, and it's just turmoil in some lives, but not in the lives of those that believe, that have a belief factor. I was talking to some friends today, and we were talking about the great falling away. The great falling away is the people that were once close to God, and now they use this pandemic as an excuse that they don't have to go to church, or I can just watch it at home on the Zoom or on the blog or whatever. But there are some pastors who are now afraid to even open up the church, and it's a great falling away. So the great falling away, everything that I see going on in the world today, basically God is gearing it around the saints. Just like when he says, my people that are called by my name, he ain't talking about the world. He's talking about us, we the people that are called by his name, Christians. So the great falling away is dealing with us, the people that were once close to him. So God is talking to us and trying to line us up. But when he lines us up, then we're able to reach out to somebody else and pull them up. Some of them are non-believers. Some of them are backsliders. Some of them have never heard. If you believe it or not, some people still have not ever heard about Jesus Christ. I have a church member who works at a school, and she was doing something at the church, and one of the students came to her and said, I ain't never been to church. Like, nobody has ever taken this. I have a young lady that's like 19 years old, and she's the nurse of my sister who has AIDS to come out to her home. And this young lady has been coming to church with us, and she said, I have never been to church. She don't know nothing about it. And she sits there in awe when we be worshiping and praising God and giving God his due. She sits in awe. You will be surprised how many people are not just non-believers, but they don't have a clue. So it's up to us to reach out and come up. But when God gave me If Only You Believe, but he actually gave it to me, and I'll get to that a little later on in my segment of how he gave that to me and when he gave that to me. But it was clear as a bell this morning. I woke up this morning, and I said, God, I don't have a word for your people, and I have to, you know, go on the live tonight, the air. And he gave me If Only You Believe. So in Romans 10 and 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You do that by getting God's word into you so that when you pray, believe, you receive. And in verses 25 and 26, so your Father in heaven will forgive you, so your prayer will be effective. All of that ties in together how we, our belief factor. What I told everybody lately, this week, I've been talking to a lot of people, and I've really been stressing to them that God is doing a lot of healing and a lot of restoration in this hour, because he's letting some people who have maybe fallen by the wayside or don't know Christ see his works and are drawn in. He is showing himself to the believers, and he is showing himself to the non-believers. He is just showing himself mighty in many areas. And the Bible says, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by what it looked like. You got to know that you know that you know. So we walk by faith and not by sight. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So you have to stand on what you believe and know that when the doubt comes in, that that's the enemy trying to deter you because it's a faith thing. Believing and faith, faith and trust are all right there together, and they interact and encounter, you know, each other on the same kind of basis. So ask specifically what you want. Tell God what you want or need and ask him to provide that for you. But be specific about your request. I've learned to be specific. I remember one year I drove for the first time. I was living in Philadelphia, and I drove to Delaware. And it was my first time I was ever driving on the highway alone with my baby in the car seat. And I asked God, Lord, and I knew to pray because we always pray when we got in our vehicles. But I remember asking God, Lord, take me there and bring me back safely. And when I got back off of the expressway in Germantown, my car broke down as soon as I got off the expressway. And I said, God, I prayed and asked for you to take me safely there and bring me safely back. And my mother encouraged me, and she said, he did, because I was about 10 minutes from my house. He didn't let me break down on the highway. He didn't let me break down in Delaware. But it taught me then. That's when I learned how to pray in specific. When I say now, when I get in my car, I say, Lord, take me safely to my destination and bring me safely back to my home, or I'll say my address, because it sounds weird when you pray in it, but when you pray in specifics, it makes a big difference. When you praying for a husband, trust me, I did this. I pray, God, I need a husband so that I don't burn, because I was promiscuous when I was younger because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But when I prayed, God, give me a husband so I won't burn up in hell, because that's all I knew. You're going to burn in hell if you're having sex without marriage. So I didn't want to burn in hell, so I asked God to give me a husband. Guess what he gave me? A husband. He was a husband by title, and that's all he was. He wasn't a provider. He wasn't a godly man. He wasn't loving. He wasn't compassionate. He wasn't anything but what I asked for, a husband. And then after I divorced him, I learned how to pray in specific. I said, God, I need a saved man. I need a godly man. I need a man that fears you. If you get a saved man and a godly man, you ain't going to have to pray all of the rest of that, because that's going to come into the package. So I have learned through my life how to pray in specific. Even though God knows what you want and need, he wants you to ask him for it. Like my children used to say, Mom, I got a test coming up in school. Is it okay if I pray and ask God to help me? Exactly, because he wants you to ask him. He is willing to help you, and he loves to know that you want him to help you. So I used to tell my kids, yes, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. By all means, ask God to help you. So God can answer vague prayers, but being specific creates a deeper bond between you and him. And a lot of people don't know that. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And that's found in Mark 11 and 24. Now, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27 and 1. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. You have to know that even in this pandemic, which is nothing but a plague, it ain't the first one, and I promise you it won't be the last one. Through all of this pandemic since 2020, you have to know that when you pray Psalms 91, that in the dwelling, you know, that no disease will come into your dwelling. Like I always say, and I've said it from time to time during this pandemic, your dwelling is not just your home. Your dwelling is wherever you are. Your dwelling is in your car. Your dwelling is in your church. Your dwelling is wherever your person is at that time. So as long as you believe that God will protect you and God will cover you. Now, I'm not saying don't wear no mask, and I'm definitely not telling nobody not to get the vaccinations. I ain't saying anything against any of those things, because you also have to, you know, do worldly things and abide by the laws of man. But I am fully vaccinated, and I wear my mask when I go out in public. Am I trusting in the mask? No. Am I trusting in the vaccination? No. I ain't even going to tell you I trust in the government. But I tell you who my trust is in. I believe that God covers me. I believe that God protects me. And even if I'm around somebody that is positive, that God protects me. You have to believe this in your head or it's not going to manifest in the natural. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Exodus 15 and 2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. You have to know that you know. Don't let no devil and no doubter come and change your mind about who he is. My mom and I used to sing a song, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. And that song, it rings true today. You have to know who he is. You have to know who you are in him. But my belief factor, I was, when my child, which a lot of you may not know because I don't know if it's any former viewers or listeners in here today, but I had a daughter who ran away 2 years ago, and she was in the streets, and I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do nothing. And I used to tell people, I used to tell God, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. I trusted him with my mouth, and I trusted him in my head, but my heart wasn't connected. And that's a threefold thing you got to do. Your heart has to be connected. So you just have to believe what you ask for at all times. Believe it. And then it will, you know, manifest. So with that being said, I was saying, you know, you rest in Jesus. I rested in Jesus with my child, finally. Finally got to a point where I could rest in God. Now, I talk to her on a daily basis, but I do not stress or worry. I eat well, I sleep good, and I believe that when I pray, that God honors my prayer. As a matter of fact, I tell everybody everywhere I go, even when I testify in church, I have not ever asked God to do anything, and he didn't do it. But there's a flip side to that. You got to stay in his will. You can't just go around asking God to do everything and you ain't walking in the way that you're supposed to walk. So as long, that makes me walk in his will and stay lined up in his word, because I have things I need God and I want God to do for me, so that when I pray to him, I don't want my prayers bouncing off the ceilings and walls and not leaving the room that I'm sitting in. I need them to hit heaven. I need them to be manifested. I need God to operate in them and favor me. So you have to stay lined up in order for this belief factor to even work. I need to say that. I need to let you know that you can believe, and yes, you'll receive it, but you also have to be lined up in the word. So I've learned how to trust God and believe. Like my mom, when I was younger, she had a incident with her washing machine. The water wouldn't run out. And my mom, being a young mom, and I was a little girl, and I used to just watch her. And don't believe me, everybody's watching you. Your children are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. Even your folks around you at church are watching you. When my mama's machine wouldn't let the water out and it wouldn't run out, my mama hit that machine and she said, you will work in the name of the Lord. And I thought she was crazy because I was a little girl. I didn't understand anything about God and belief factors and trusting him and praying and all of that. I didn't know any of that. But like, guess what? That machine let that water out and operated like it had never stopped. And that stuck in my brain. It didn't stick in my brain on a daily basis because, like I said, I was a child. But when I became an adult and moved to Georgia, 900 miles away from my mama, when I had a situation that came up in my brand-new apartment and my brand-new dryer wouldn't dry my clothes, it would spin and turn on, but it wouldn't. The heating element wouldn't work. And I ain't had no money, and it regurgitated back up in my spirit what my mother did. And I went in that laundry room, and I hit that dryer, and I said, God, I don't have no money. Dryer, you will work in the name of the Lord. But when I said it, I wasn't just mimicking what I saw. I had to have a belief factor behind it. And that dryer worked. As a matter of fact, I've been living in Georgia for 16 years, and I've only had two dryers. So that first dryer worked for years, many years after that. So it's the belief factor. Recovering from the sick. I have four friends in Philadelphia. I have four friends recently that are on the ventilator. And we've been coming together and praying for these friends that are on the ventilators. And I'm telling you, one girl, I got a praise report with one of them that said one of my friends in Philadelphia now is breathing at 45%. I mean, she's breathing at 55%, and the machine is on 45%, but she opened her eyes, and they turned the TV on for her. Because the prayers of a righteous man avail as much, but you have to believe what you're asking for. If you're not going to believe it, don't ask, because you're wasting your time. I just want to share these little testimonies because I can't just tell you to do something that I haven't done. And if you hear that God did it for me, just like he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So he has recovered the sick. I had one particular friend last week. She went into the hospital, had double pneumonia in both lungs, and she was on the ventilator. We've been crying out to God for her collectively and individually, her friends. And this morning I was getting dressed for church, and I seen that she was active on Messenger. And I said, God, is that her daughter checking her messages, or is that her, God? Did you answer our prayer, God? Do I got a testimony before I hit the house of God? Please, God, I need to know, do I got a testimony? And I video chatted her because I want to see her face to know if this is my testimony. And she didn't answer. So I kept getting ready for church. And when I looked up, the song came on, Yes, Lord, My Soul Says Yes. And after that song went off, my phone rang, and it was her on the video chat. And I opened up the video chat and seen her sitting up in her hospital bed with her oxygen in her nose and talking to me like I'm talking to you. And I just hollered, hallelujah, God, it's you. You have done what we asked you to do, because we believed that he would do it anyway. And she sat up there, and after I hung up the phone with her, the next song that came on said, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. And that's when God gave me my title, and he said, if only you believe. And I said, I did believe, and I thank you, God, because I asked you, and you moved. And he said to me, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. She was the last person of my four friends that I heard went on the ventilator, but she was the first one that I heard came completely off and was sitting up in the bed talking to me on the telephone like I'm sitting here talking to you all on this live broadcast. So God is a miracle worker, but I promise you, your belief factor has to be in place. Just like I heard stories, you know, Pastor Toy, I told a favorite story when I first began ministering here on Purpose Kingdom about the old mother that went to a church and they had a drought in her hometown. And that old mother, and them old mothers don't play, they believe, and they'll teach you how to believe. They had a special night prayer at the church that evening that they were going to all come together and pray for rain because they needed it so badly. And mother was never late, and mother never missed a service, and mother was never late. And this mother was late coming to the prayer meeting about the rain. And the deacons got worried, and they were on their way to her house to see if everything was okay. And when they went out of the church to go to mother's house to see about her, she was pulling in the parking lot. And they said, mother, we were concerned. You weren't here on time. We were coming to see about you. And she said, I had to go back and get my galoshes and my raincoat and my umbrella. Because guess what? When mother got up off her knees at that church, she was expecting. She was expecting that what she asked God for was going to already be manifested, and she was going to need those things to leave the church. We ask God for stuff and don't even expect it. We ask God for stuff, and when it happened, we'd be looking like, oh, my God, that happened? Didn't you ask? Where is your faith? James Cleveland said, where is your faith? So we have to be careful about our belief factor because we have to ask and we have to believe and then we receive. I'm telling you, Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know if you all know him. He's a British evangelist years ago. A pastor had a woman who was vexed with a demonic spirit, and he called Smith Wigglesworth to his hometown to pray for this woman who was a member of his church, but she was vexed with a demon. And she would cuss and just was belligerent. You know, that demon just had her acting out. It was like a disturbance spirit. And when Wigglesworth went in her house, he prayed for her. He grabbed his coat. He said, let's go. Now, this pastor had went and picked Smith Wigglesworth up from wherever he had to pick him up from, drove for a long time, I believe, brought him back. He prayed for the woman, grabbed his coat, and said, let's go. And the man was so disappointed when he drove the man back, Smith Wigglesworth, back to his destination. He was so disappointed that the woman was in the same state she was in when he called him that he didn't say a word to the man the whole ride back. And he talked, you know, that next Sunday, that woman walked in church, and she was not in the same state that she was in. But my point was, Smith Wigglesworth went in there, and in his mind, he prayed. He believed God was going to do what he asked him to do. His part was over. Take me back where you got me from. My job here is done. I asked God to do what he do, and it's done. And it was done. And that woman came to church, walked in that church the very next Sunday, and she was a new creature. She was not in the state of mind that she was in, vexed with that demonic spirit. And that's what I'm straight. I'm just telling you these little victory testimonies to let you know that it's very important to stand in your belief. That's why God asked us, if only you believe. Look, don't Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they had a belief factor. Do what you got to do, because we believe in our God. I mean, Job had a belief factor. So we have to stand in this pandemic. We have to stand in this plague. We have to stand throughout all of these things that are going on in our lives. And we need to stand on our belief factor and believe that when we ask God to do something, that indeed he is going to do it. Another, I'm going to give you one more little example, a story about a couple that had been praying because their baby had ran out of milk, and the mother was in there praying, God, we need milk. Please send somebody. And a young boy had Bible study with a group of friends at a coffee shop, and on his way home, he was driving, and the Holy Spirit told him, well, they were discussing, God, do you still talk to people? And when he was driving home, the Holy Spirit told him, turn down this street. And he said, I don't have to go that way to go home, and he didn't do it. And when he drove a couple more blocks, the Holy Spirit rerouted him and said, turn here and turn here. And it rerouted him back to the street that it originally told him to turn onto. And he stopped at this house, and the Holy Spirit told him where to stop, and he told him, go knock on that door. And he was like, I don't even know these people. And the house looked dark like nobody was home, so he was going, this is crazy. I'm not doing that. But the young man did what he was urged to do. And when he knocked on the door, a father came to the door and opened it. And the boy, I'm sorry, let me go back. He was directed to go to the store and buy milk, some milk. And he bought this milk, and then God led him down that street to knock on that door. And he had milk with him, but he had no idea why he had bought this milk and where he was going. But when he knocked on the door, the father came to the door and said, you know, he said, I don't know why I'm here. I was just led to come here. And the mother came up behind the father and started giving God praise and said, thank you. You're our angel, because I was just praying that our baby, you know, needed some milk. And God, please send an angel to bring us some milk. 2 points to this story. The mother prayed and she believed. And God sent a stranger to her home to deliver what she needed. But the other point to this story is that young man had just left Bible study and had a question in his heart. God, do you still talk to people? Yes, he still talks to people. Are we listening? Are we being guided? He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know them people's neighborhood. He didn't know them people's house. He didn't have nothing. He was led by the Spirit of God. Yes, God talked to us. Are we listening? When you get an urge for something that's so unfamiliar to you, don't always go by your familiar feelings like, I don't know who they are. Why am I going here? Sometimes it's the move of God. So not only did God move on the behalf of the people praying that they needed milk, he moved on the behalf of the young man who had a question to answer before he got home, and it was answered. So our belief is a strong factor in our lives. I'm telling you, the mind, when they used to have this saying when I was in high school, said the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and it is, because your mind is powerful. And I just thank God that he gave us he talks to us and tells us what to do as far as even believing. Believing is simply faith. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Goes right along with the story I just gave you. Not only do you have to remove all doubts, but you also have to remove all doubters from around you. They hinder the process. They hinder the process of growth spiritually. They hinder the process of healing, and et cetera. Naysayers and doubters are always going to be hindrances. And God does know what we need, but he wants us to acknowledge him. He says, that's my child calling for me. What parent ignores their child calling to them? So he or she is faithful and trust. Let me move on their behalf. He is eager. When your child, when you have a child that's good and is obedient and does the things that you ask of them, we are eager to do for those children. We want to do for those children. And the same thing for God. God, I'm asking you for this. I know you can do this for me. I know you can do anything but fail. I believe that you already done it. You think he's not going to move on your behalf? I dare you to try him and see. So God is always good, but God is still God at all times. So I pray we all, you know, have gotten something on this belief factor about believing. If only you believe. That's all you got to do. It's not hard. Let me share a nugget with you on that one, on that note. We have to know that we got, within our knowing, we got to know. My mom and I used to say, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. And I used to be like, what? But now, being who I am and where I am in Christ, I know that I know that I know that I know. And the power of agreement gets prayers answered. So we have to be in agreement. We have to come together and unify. And you know, with two or three united, guess what? It's going down. So I just encourage y'all to just get on board and check your faith. Check your belief factor. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Believing is simply faith. Faith, faith, faith. Usually when we pray for people that are sick, I tell them, if you don't agree with what I'm, if anybody in here don't agree with me, please leave the room. I don't have nothing against you not agreeing. I ain't got nothing against your faith or religion. But if you are not in agreement, we don't need you around here to be, listen, we're praying for God to raise somebody up, and you over there already been buried them in your mind, planning what you're going to wear to the funeral. Please leave the room. It's not a bad thing to ask somebody, could you please step out for a moment? We don't. Because when you're around positivity, it increases your healing. It increases your growth. When you allow people that's negative and they already then thought the worst, that hinders your healing. That hinders your growth. So I implore you to check your belief factor and check your faith and just get on board, because we have to check it out. We have to do a self-check. I'm like James Cleveland all day. Where is your faith? If only you believe. Now, if I have any callers, if I have anybody that want to share with me, it's open. I'm done. That's all I got for you tonight. I hope I said something somewhere that blessed somebody, helped somebody, encouraged somebody, taught somebody, you know, or just reinstated something in somebody. So, if you want to look at it, you know, see this broadcast, it's at www.blogtalkradio.com, Purpose Kingdom. And anybody that want to get on this belief factor and turn their life over to God, maybe you don't have a home church. If you don't have a home church, I encourage you to get to a Bible-based believing church and grow. Ask questions. Write them down during the week. Go to the Bible studies. Write down questions all week so you won't forget them. And when you go to Bible study, that's the opportunity you have to ask questions and grow. Write it down. You know, call somebody during the week that you know is always in their word and study and to show themselves the proof. Ask questions. Grow. Because my mom used to say, you are responsible for what you don't know. And I ain't understand that as a kid either, but I understand it now. So, you know, you'll understand it better by and by. This is the by and by for me. So anybody out there that would like to get their heart to God or come on board with the kingdom, I have a prayer that you can say, and you can say it with me, and you can say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come in my heart and life, and I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you say that and you believe it with your whole heart, you are saved. And we welcome you into the kingdom of God. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So if you said that prayer tonight, I congratulate you. I embrace you. I welcome you into the body of Christ, and I implore you to get into a Bible-based Believing Church. And if you don't have a Bible-based Believing Church, or if one is not open in your area, get you a Bible. Sit at the table. Open it up. They got all kind of Bible dictionaries and concordances. And dig. And let me tell you what else. These phones, everybody got a phone. Uncle Google and Auntie YouTube will tell you whatever you want to know. They even could do the Bible. I get on there and I hit that microphone and say, scripture on, if I don't know exactly where it is, and it'll tell me what scripture it is. There is no excuse for us not to know, and there is no excuse for us not to believe, because the belief is what's going to manifest it in our lives. And I thank y'all. I love y'all. I enjoyed y'all. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. I pray it helps somebody out there. In Jesus' name. And I'm going to turn it over for the announcement back in Pastor Toy's hands.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, if only you believe. Hallelujah. I just thank and praise God for that word and for that testimony and for that encouragement, for that power that he sent forth through the airways this evening. We thank and bless and praise God for Evangelist Mary Scott. And, you know, it is so awesome to me that God went to If Only You Believe, because I think about so many times when I read in scripture, just about every time Jesus healed somebody. And there was a few times that he just walked up on somebody and said, hey, come here, you want me to heal you? But usually they ran to him. And just about every time they ran to him, for those he healed, he always said, your faith has made you whole. In other words, I healed you because you believed that I could heal you. I'm doing this for you because you believed that I would do this for you. Hallelujah, God. I just bless God. You know, I'm going to share this, then I'm going to go into the announcements. I'm sorry. But it's like my grandson wanted a bicycle for his birthday. And he started shopping around, dropping those little hints about wanting a bicycle. But when he could not get the response that he was looking for from the people he went and dropped the hints to, he finally came to what he believed was his sure thing. And he was like, hey, Gang T, my grandchildren call me Gang T. He said, hey, Gang T, I would really love a bicycle for my birthday. I don't care if I don't get anything else. I would really love a bicycle for my birthday. And anyone who, if you know my grandson, he is the one grandchild that really doesn't ask for anything. But when he came to me because in his heart, he believed that if he told me that was his desire, he knew that wish would be fulfilled, or that desire would be fulfilled. And sure enough, on his birthday, God blessed that we were able to have a bike there for him. So I'm saying that to say that's how it is with God. That's how it is with Jesus Christ. You have to count on him as your sure thing. If you are tired of going to all the folk and feelers to see if they can help you or handle it or help you see a way around it, redirect you or navigate you, it's time for you to come to your sure thing, which is Jesus Christ, and say, hey, Father God, I need. Hallelujah, God. And I dare you, because his words say, taste and see that the Lord is good. That means you can come and try him out. He ain't going to make you stay if you don't want to, but he will give you the opportunity to just come and try him out. Hallelujah. Again, Evangelist, you know you always get me started. I thank and praise God for that word this evening. We encourage you, as she said, to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, you can be blessed and feel free. That is why God has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. You can follow us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. I'm sorry, tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. we will be coming with the debut of a new ministry right here on Purpose Kingdom. The name of the ministry is Judah Fire. Hallelujah, God. Judah Fire, and the host is Pastor Montez Jones. He will be coming here at Purpose Kingdom Network tomorrow at 9 p.m. right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We invite you to join us on any of our social media pages where you can find out about upcoming events as well as ministries on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn. We're Purpose Kingdom. On Instagram and Twitter, we're Purpose_Kingdom. You can also feel free to follow us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com. Again, www.pknradio.com. There you can listen via the internet radio station where the Lord has blessed that we are broadcasting gospel music throughout the day, 24 hours a day. You can also reach out to our host to speak to them directly, request prayer, or just to reach out and let us know how Purpose Kingdom is being a blessing to you. Again, we thank each and every one of our faithful listeners for joining in. Evangelist Mary, wonderful words this evening. The ministry is back in your hands to close us out.
Thank you. Let me do just that, because ain't no need to go back on what the Lord has already said, but you were absolutely right on that. I just want to close out and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, God, for the word that you put in me that came for me first. Thank you, Lord, for the listeners out there in abroad. And thank you, God, that it may have touched somebody. God, I believe in my heart that somebody somewhere has been touched by the encouraging word that you sent through me, and I thank you for it. No glory to me, God, all glory to you. But I thank you, Lord, because we're in the time now, God, where people are hurting, people are afraid, and people just need a little bit more of you, God. And I thank you for Purpose Kingdom Network being the sometimes the only Jesus that somebody else might see. And I thank you, God, for using us, God, in your name, in your son Jesus' name, God, we pray. And I thank you, Lord, amen. So as we depart from this place, but never from your presence, God, I thank you, Lord, and I love y'all. Thank you so much. Until the next time, be blessed on purpose.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.